Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. It is great to be alive, first of all, and it's great to be back. I am very, very, very excited to have another opportunity to speak with you. This is the first show of Jawanza for Life in a long time, actually in over a year. It's been about a year since we did the last show, and I wanted to make sure that when we started the show back up, that I started the show back up with somebody that's been with me. We've been doing these shows for years and just spreading information. My guest is somebody that I don't take for granted. People in the Washington, D.C. area and beyond don't take this brother for granted. He's a treasure to us. You know, he keeps us well. He keeps us healthy. You know, he has an establishment that will tell you all about where, if you are into holistic health and you live in the Washington, D.C. area and you have not heard of Secrets of Nature, I have one question for you, and that is, where have you been? Where you must have just got to town or something. You must have just moved here from someplace, because if you've been in D.C. or the surrounding areas for a while, you know about Secrets of Nature. The owner and operator and establisher of Secrets of Nature is King Coy Dunstan. He's my special guest today. And as I mentioned, he's a treasure to the holistic health community because he's got such a wealth of knowledge. Over 30 years, over 35 years, approximately 40 years of doing holistic health and doing it successfully. You know, there are a lot of people that do things as fads. They get into it, one minute they're into something, and you run into them again a little later, and you ask them, so how's that thing coming you were doing? Oh, man, I'm not doing that no more. You know, but Brother Coy's been on this path, and I call it a path, a lifestyle, for over 40 years, and he's got an awesome, awesome testimony, because when you're talking about holistic health, a topic such as holistic health, and you're listening to somebody and they're giving you information, you want to know how they know what they know, right? You want to know, well, how do I know that they know what they're talking about? So I'm going to bring Brother Coy on and ask him to share his awesome, awesome testimony with us. I never get tired of hearing it. It's always inspirational, and it inspired me, and I know that you're going to be inspired once you hear it. Brother Coy, first, let me welcome you back to Jawanza for Life. It's my pleasure. It's an honor, my brother. I bow to you. I'm ready to sit at your feet for a while. We're going to be talking about COVID-19 and can COVID be cured holistically, but welcome back, Brother Coy. Before we get into that, can you please share with us your awesome testimony? Again, I want to thank you so much. I'm honored and humbled that you've agreed to be my guest again today. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, I say good evening to you and your audience and your family. I wish you all good health and wealth. And I pray that the COVID haven't affected your life too much in terms of death and disease, or even individual cases of going through the process. But yeah, it's good to be back with you, and I'm glad you decided to renew this process of getting information out to the people. Yes, I'm in located in Washington, D.C. Been in this town for about 50 years now, probably. Born and raised in North Carolina, and what got me on this path, I finished school here in D.C., law school, in 1980, and, you know, I just wanted a break, so I just went home and spent some time with my family, because that was, you know, pretty much missing in action for a while in school. I got home, and my mother had just come from the doctor saying that she had just come from the doctor, and the doctor told her that she needed to go to Duke University Hospital as soon as she could. She had been complaining about itching, and she'd been, you know, not feeling right. And the next morning, my dad and I got up, and we drove to Duke University Hospital in Durham. We sit there all day, basically waiting for them to tell us what's going on. They came back late in the afternoon and say that, you know, we're going to keep her. We think we need to look deeper into what's going on and decide what we need to do. So Dad and I went home, and we went back the next day, and the doctor sit down and talk with us and say that, well, she has terminal cancer. It's like stage four of the colon, the liver, and the breast. And they just, we're going to run some tests and see what we can do. And after 3 or 4 weeks, they say, well, there's nothing else we can do, so you have to take the chemotherapy or you know, go home. So it pretty much like it's like, I guess, being hit with the COVID virus. They tell you if you don't do this and do that, you're going to die. So we went through that process, and my mother finally asked me, what would I do if I was her? And I say, well, I think I would just pack it up and go home and meet my mother. Go home to meet my father, or mother,
right.
Mother and father. And she took my advice, and we picked up and we left the hospital and went home. After that, I felt an obligation that I needed to do something to do whatever I could to assist her in whatever she was going through. So, you know, I got involved in researching about the body, what, you know, defining what cancer is and overall what disease is. And I realized that there is another way. Just like now, we don't hear much about the other way. And unless, you know, we hear it on the radio or hear it on the TV, we don't believe there's another way. So when we talk about doing something different, we kind of get shunned and say, you ain't no doctor and you don't know what you're talking about. And you know, it's just from basic research that I did. I ran into a company called Nature Sunshine, and they taught us how to treat the body, what the body needs, how to keep the body in a state of, I guess, homeostasis, in a healthy state is a better word, I guess. And we started using all of the products and the things that they sold, and at that, after about, it was about 2 to 3 months later, the company came out, Nature Sunshine came out with a product called Pardaco. And Pardaco had a reputation of emptying the cancer wards in Mexico, and, you know, we never heard of it here. So I got it. I started giving it to my mother, and, you know, we got into the fasting and changing the diet and vegetarianism and all of that. We kind of did a crash course on all of that. I did it with her. And probably about the fourth or fifth month, we went back to the doctor, and they say, well, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Because, you know, she was supposed to have been dead 4 months ago. So they was kind of backing up and kind of saying they didn't know what was going on, but keep doing what you're doing. So with that, after about the 6 month, they said that, well, no need to come back. We don't see anything. The cancer is in remission or under control, whatever they call it. And you don't, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, and we'll talk to you later. By that time, we had, you know, done some fasting. We had done some the herbs, learning how to use the herbs, the Pardaco, the honey, and all the other things, natural stuff, alternative stuff that they call it. But it's really the only stuff that we have that can heal the body. We had been using that, and she was doing fine. So this went on to the point to where she was, you know, up and around and doing what she wanted to do. And in fact, she was preaching. She did some preaching before she passed, and that was all in within after. It was like 10 years later before she really passed away. And by that time, I was deep into what I do, and that's run the health food store and try to provide the things that I know that you need to keep the body straight. And if you're willing to listen, I can help you as long as you're willing to listen and try to make a change for on your own. And I've been doing this now, it's like over 40 years, and I'm certain that there's a lot of people out there that are still around because of me, but unfortunately, I've probably lost more than I've saved because, you know, people just, they don't hear what you say sometimes because they look at everything else but what you're saying, and they miss the point of what you're saying, that it's your body. You have to decide that you want to live, and then you have to go into the process of doing what it takes to convince you have to convince yourself that what you are doing is what you need to do to live, and if anything else, you're going to die. So that happened with my mother. I was astounded because, you know, people don't tell you this. We don't know how to take care of ourselves. We don't even know how to eat. So we have to go back into this and convince people or try to convince people that this is what they need to do. But for the most part, you know, I'm done trying to convince people. If they don't know by now, the ones that are willing to listen and go through the process, I can help. If you're not willing to do that, there's not much I can do that will make a difference for you. But it works. It's the only thing that works, even against COVID-19.
Now, you know, when I think about your testimony, it's powerful, and just on its face, you know, it's just a very, very powerful testimony. I mean, it shows the love that a son has for his mother, you know, that after the doctors had given up on her and told her basically she had a choice to either take chemo or leave the hospital, and then gave her 6 weeks to live. Okay, so they had basically just given your mother, just totally given up on her and said, okay, you got approximately six weeks to live. Was there, because we know today, when we talk to people today, even with all of this information out here, now that was 40 years ago when you were working with your mother, but fast forward 40 years and now we have much more information on holistic health, even 40 more years worth of testimonies of people that have recovered from cancer and diabetes and heart trouble and all kinds of stuff via holistic health remedies, and people yet today are still skeptical about it. Now, was your mother skeptical? I mean, I'm keeping in mind that the doctors had given her 6 weeks to live, so it's not like she had a whole bunch of options. But was she skeptical about it when you were, you know, coming to her and saying, hey, Ma, let's try this other way?
Well, if she was, I never picked up on it. I mean, we fell right in lockstep with each other, and we went through the praying, and they went through the fasting, and I think after two or three days, she saw the difference. Once she decided that she was going to do this with me, she saw the difference, and I think she just automatically followed from there. But unless you go through the process, you won't pick that up. And I didn't get a lot of resistance. You know, when you first hear the news that you're going to die from cancer, you kind of go through some emotional and traumatic kind of changes, but once you get over that and decide that you want to live, you just need someone there to kind of help you through the process, and it'll be okay. And that's what happened with my mother. I never felt like she didn't want to do it or she wasn't trying to do it. She just kind of fit right into it, and we both worked it out.
You know, it reminds me of, if you want to just use the analogy of cancer being an enemy or an opponent, you know, it's like you might take somebody, a boxer, two boxers in a ring, and one is expected to win. You know, the odds are on this one person might be undefeated, you know, and the other person, they might not even be giving this other person a chance. But he gets in the ring, and at some point during the bout, he realizes, I can hit this dude. You know? I mean, I can really hit this dude. And as the fight progresses, you can see the underdog's confidence building.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And at some point he might start throwing uppercuts, and before you know it, he dancing, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
before you know it, he might knock the other guy out.
That's correct.
But he was the underdog, but you could see his confidence growing during the course of the fight that he was
good
not
analogy.
Expected.
Yeah, huh? Good analogy. That's a good analogy. You got to respect the process, yeah, and you got to go through
mm-hmm.
the process. Yeah, that's what happened with my mother, yeah.
You could see her confidence building as she started getting into it, huh?
Yes. Because she knew what the doctors had said, and she knew that she couldn't go back that way. So what I was putting in front of her, and, you know, it was mostly about her, just changing what you eat, getting your mind right, and doing what it takes to reverse what you've done to your body, and your body will respond. And I think she picked that up, like, early in the process, and she just followed through with it.
You know, this is a very, very interesting conversation. You said something just so important just now. You said, you know, you get to a point where you start reversing what you've done to your body, what you've done. To your body. A lot of times because people don't want to admit, you know, we don't want to admit that the reason I have something or I'm dealing with something, and it's not to be self-incriminating, it's not to, you know, blame, it's not about blame and feeling guilty, but, you know, somebody who smokes cigarettes might have to acknowledge the fact that if they get lung cancer that I did this to me, not the devil, you know what I'm saying? Or if I ate a certain way, and as a result of eating, you know, high fatty foods or greasy foods or whatever for years, and now I may have high blood pressure. I played a role in that. Not that the devil did this to me, because here's the thing. If it was the devil that put all those things on your mother, because your mother had cancer in both breasts, the liver and the colon, and by the time you got finished working with her, all of that was gone. Okay, so here's the question. If the devil afflicted your mother with cancer in both breasts, her liver and her colon, why did he stop messing with her once she changed her diet and stopped eating the meat, the dairy, the sugar, and started fasting and juicing? The devil, if the devil had the power to put it on her, he certainly wasn't going to just let her off the hook just because she changed her diet if it was the devil.
That's correct. That is correct. That's what we call a preventable disease, yes. That's what happened. And oftentimes we put our trust in the wrong thing. That's the first thing we do wrong. We put our trust in the wrong thing. We talk to people that can't do anything about what's wrong with us or can't give us anything that can make a difference in what's going on with us. And that's why we die. So you have to learn how your body works and what your body needs, and you can pretty much survive anything.
Well, today, everybody, we got a show for you. There, as everybody knows, everybody's listening to this show knows that. So probably for like the last almost year, or so, or close to it, there's been in the world a pandemic. The world has seen pandemics before, okay, and may see them again. But in our lifetime, you know, we haven't seen anything like this. So this is a time that we're going through where people are, it's affected us either directly or we know somebody that has contacted COVID-19, or even if we don't personally know anybody that's contacted it, we are affected by it. You know, we're wearing masks now everywhere you go. You know, we're mindful
can't
of social
go
distancing. It's just changed everything. I mean, from sports to watching what you would normally do recreational. It's just affected everybody's life. And there are in the U.S. today, just in this country today, you know, over 200,000 people have died since, you know, this disease or pandemic has hit the United States. And today we're going to be talking about ways in which, you know, or can, I'm going to ask the question, can it be cured or healed or treated? Can't really use the word healed or cured, but can it be treated holistically. Because the first thing people do, more than likely, if you're not into holistic health, first thing is to, you know, if you think you have it, you know, I guess you need to first find out, get tested to find out if you do have it. But there are ways in which, or alternative, quote unquote, ways that you can possibly treat this condition. By the way, I want to give everybody an opportunity to join in the conversation. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 515-605-9727. If you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1 if you would like to make a comment, jump in the conversation. You don't have to give your real name if you don't want to. But if you have experienced this and you have any, you know, personal information that you would like to bring to the discussion, that's great, because there are a lot of people out there, Brother Coy, that still think this thing is a hoax. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we
yeah.
can look on TV and see people not social distancing in large crowds screaming and yelling like they don't believe this thing is real, but it is real. But for the sake of discussion, I don't want to assume everybody knows what a pandemic is, just so that we can lay the foundation for the discussion. What's a pandemic? I mean, because a lot of people have never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, a pandemic is what we're in right now. It affects, it has nothing to do with color or race or where you live or anything. A pandemic comes across like a plague, and it affects everybody that comes in contact with it. And if you're not affected, you're going to get affected in some way. If you want to be a victim of the pandemic, you can make that decision. If you want to know how to deal with the pandemic, you can make that decision. So it's not like you have to operate off of fear. Just because to say this is a pandemic and it's going to kill everybody, that's not necessarily true. You have to it's a broad-ranging disease that affects everybody. And while we're here, I want to say this is the main reason, or one of the main reasons, why you should be a vegetarian. Because most of these pandemics, in fact, all of them, it comes from our relationship with animals. If we, it's either crossbreeding or cross-contaminating with an animal that has a virus or a disease that affects. That attacks your immune system, and it'll take you out. And most of the time, it's what we're eating, the flesh that we eat, the pets that we have in our house, the animals that we live with. Oftentimes, particularly chickens, if you raise chicken, you are susceptible to being affected by these diseases that these animals inflict on humans. And if you don't know that, you will wind up in a place where you may not want to be dead.
So when it comes to a pandemic, now I've heard, we've heard different people say, for example, oh, it's just going to disappear. But, I mean, do you believe that ultimately that a vaccine will be, you know, produced that will inoculate people from their immune system being open to catching
this?
Well,
that's a possibility, but as of yet, and we have known COVID, the COVID virus has been around for at least 50 years, and it always mutates into something else. So, yes, you may have a vaccine that works today, but for my child, it may not work. So they have to constantly be doing these vaccines. And the vaccines usually have toxic substances in it that really attacks your immune system. And the immune system is the only thing you have to fight a pandemic or any disease. And if you weaken that system, then it's going to be more difficult to recover from it. But I'm not a believer in vaccines. I don't think they work. I think if we do a good alternative health, if we do a good nutritional techniques, the nutrition, eat right, do right, exercise, take care of yourself, I think that's the first thing we have to do before we start talking about a vaccine. But through this process, we haven't heard very much about anything that we can do on our own that can help us through this pandemic stage that we're in. And I think that's criminal. I think somebody should go to jail for that, because it's simple. People just have to know what to take and what they need to take. We don't get enough sun, so automatically your immune system is in. We all got an underlying condition, so if we don't get enough sun, our vitamin D is low, and vitamin D is what really pushes up the immune system to a point where it can fight. We all talk about the vitamin C. The vitamin C is the best thing you can do to boost the immune system, and that's the whole thing with fighting any disease. You got to boost the immune system. That's the vitamin C. That's why we talk about the vitamin C so much. The sea vegetation it boosts the immune system, and it'll also keep you from antiviral, anti-infection. It kind of put a barrier around you to protect you from all of the things that we come in contact with, and it's more difficult to get now because we pretty much destroyed the oceans and destroyed the environment to the point to where we can't get decent sea vegetation anymore, because we dump all our garbage in the ocean and all the sea vegetation is polluted. In fact, the company that I liked, I thought was the best company on the market, Wachtels, they've gone out of business. Because,
oh, really? I remember that.
They're no longer producing products. And I think the main reason, not that I know this, but it's just difficult to find good sea vegetation anymore because we've polluted the oceans, and the global warming have heated up the ocean to the point to where there's nothing in the ocean that we can get out of it that's any good, including fish. And we have to, first of all, consider all those things. But the vitamin C, the vitamin D, the zinc, omega fats, vitamin E, vitamin A, the sea vegetation, if you can find good sea vegetation, and those kind of things. There's other things that we need to make sure that our immune system is strong enough to fight off whatever we come in contact with, and it's becoming more difficult to do that because we can't find good sources of the vitamins and the minerals and all the other things that we need to keep our bodies in a position to where it can fight.
Well, what about meat and dairy in the treatment of COVID? If somebody came to you and said that they had just come from the doctor and they had been diagnosed with COVID, and they, you know, they had heard that there were some benefits to being vegan or vegetarian, and you were describing, they asked you, so, but, you know, I've considered letting go of the meat. You know, I've really considered letting go of the dairy. I know I need to do better with my diet. What's wrong with meat? If you were to be asked that question, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say that's the main reason we're into this pandemic. We love meat. We have not only eat it. We have a house full of pets. We live around animals. We sleep with them. I mean, that would be the first thing I would tell them. We have to. That's the main reason why you should eliminate any animal product from your diet or being around the animal, because that is the primary way that the pandemic is spread. That's what carries a pandemic. A bird flying around, and then it flies all over the world, and everybody gets it. So there's some number that say when you have a pandemic, and there's one that's lower than a pandemic, but a pandemic is when millions of people all across the world are affected. We call that a pandemic because that's what it is. And Italy was the, you know, Italy in the beginning, Italy got hit hard, and I think the Cuban doctors went there, and they started treating it. Not as a virus, but as a bacteria. And it made sense to me because that's what animals carry, bacteria. And if you get too close to it or get involved with it, or a bird that's been eating something they shouldn't be eating, and they come around you and you kissing them and living, sleeping with them, that's going to break down your immune system to the point where you can't defend yourself. And that's what happens oftentimes, and that's the main reason why we should all leave animal product alone. But I know we're in love with them, and we can't live without them, and it's like, you know, we just don't.
So somebody would say, so you saying I got to get rid of Fido?
Yes, that's the idea. That would probably be the most effective thing we could do: separate ourselves from animals, and it would probably disappear within 60 to 90 days. But we're not going there. We're not hearing that. That's like me telling you that if you take a cup of party alcohol every day, you could cure cancer. People don't hear that. And It's been proven. I mean, it's fact. All you got to do is research. You got to research and read and figure out the process that you need to take to correct whatever condition you're dealing with. It can be called cancer, it can be called arthritis, it can be called whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter. It all comes from the same thing. It breaks down your immune system to the point to where, the underlying conditions that we have, most of us got some kind of underlying condition. We got high blood pressure, diabetes, or kidney problems, or whatever you call it. It doesn't matter. It all comes from the same thing. We are not doing what we need to do to keep our immune system strong enough to do what we needed to do to protect us from the environment that we're living in right now. And it's going to become more critical if we don't start facing the fact that we can't keep going doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
You know, I was talking to Dr. Watkins once, excuse me, who you know, and he mentioned that ask about exercise and moving the body. Dr. Watkins said that, for example, a person who smokes and exercises, studies have shown, will live longer than a person who does not smoke and does not exercise. I thought that was a very interesting statistic. I'll say it again. He stated that in his findings, he found that people that smoke and exercise live longer than people that don't smoke but don't exercise. Your thoughts?
Absolute. If you understand that smoking is bad for your body, then you need to do something to offset that, and exercise is one of the things that can keep your breathing, keep your lungs strong, clean the lungs, all of the things that smoking does to the body. You can mitigate. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Mitigate the circumstances by exercising. If you move, if you breathe, if you try to eat right or do whatever, you're going to overcome a problem quicker than even if you are doing it. You're going to do better by getting your body moving every day. We have blood. The blood is pumped with the heart. The heart pumps the blood through the body. But we have a lymphatic system that does not have a pump, and the only way to move it is to move. You got to exercise. So if you're moving and exercising, no matter what you're doing, it's like cleansing your body through the process of avoiding any diseases you may get because of the things that you do. But you got to always consider the cost of what you're doing, and if you're willing to pay that cost, then you can kind of contain whatever the condition you're dealing with in a way that is not as effective, or not as it doesn't affect you as much as if you just did what you wanted to do and didn't do anything else other than cause increase the possibility of you dying of what you're doing because you're not moving or breathing or doing what you need to do.
Go back to meat for a second, because you talked about, you know, like living with Fido might cause problems just by virtue of the fact that, you know, they're carriers of bacteria and, you know, all kinds of stuff, and the birds and the pets and, you know, that.
Yeah.
But what about the consumption? You know, of the meat and the dairy.
The consumption is even worse, because consumption totally shuts down the immune system to the point to where we get the arthritis, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the heart disease. That's come from consuming animal fat more so than you just being, it just affecting you in some way. So you have to be in a place where you at least is conscious enough to understand that if you're going to eat this meat, it's going to be full of parasites, it's going to be full of disease, it's going to be a carrier of everything that's preventable. So that is the main reason you need to back up off the meat. Yeah. And if you're going to eat meat and not exercise, you're going to have a problem.
Well, what about when it comes to COVID? Because they're constantly, because this is something, like you mentioned, that it's been around for a while, but I guess, I don't know if it's like different strains or whatever, but, you know, they're constantly saying different things. For example, the initial thought was that if you got it once, that you were immune, you couldn't catch it again, until I saw a report where somebody had gotten it twice, you know, or they said at first that, okay, 6 feet apart, that was the acceptable social distance, that if you stood 6 feet apart from somebody, that if you weren't within that 6 feet range of them, that you were safe, until I heard a report where they said, well, no, maybe 6 feet isn't quite far enough. Maybe you need to go back 8 feet, you know. So when it comes to something like this, and they're constantly getting new information, they're constantly saying, oh, well, and it will probably be like that with the vaccine. If they ever come out with one, it'll probably be like, oh, well, we'll try. And they have to do so many experiments on a certain amount of people. They have to have so many subjects, you know what I mean, or people that are willing to be volunteers for this, you know, to determine whether it works. They're going to have to, you know, so when it comes to COVID and so many unknown variables, it seems that what the least you could do, or the very prudent thing to do, would be to do what you know you can do concerning your own body, you know, to take care of it to the best that you know how. Would you agree?
I'll agree. That is the only thing that's going to work. You have to, the process of avoiding or preventing diseases is giving the body what it needs. And if you're not doing that, you're opening yourself up for whatever comes along. And that's probably why so many people are affected, because they keep doing the same thing. No one is coming along and telling them that these are the things you need to take to boost up your immune system. These are the things you need to take or do to help your immune system fight. And it's almost criminal that, you know, we are still not teaching people what they need to do. The only alternative so far that they've given us is a vaccine. And I think most of the vaccines that have been tried to develop, they have stopped the trial because they're not working. At some point, this stuff don't work anymore. And you have to go back to what we know that you should do, but because the pharmaceutical industry runs this world, we have to, they control what we hear, see, and do, because they got the money, they got the doctors, they got everybody in their hand, and if you don't do what we say do, you won't get no money. So we all, instead of trusting in God, we trusted in money, and that's why we're dying, or that's why the disease is not under control. And we have to get to a place to where we can understand that it's really up to us whether we live or die in any situation, and we have to do what it takes to either get through it or to avoid it. And I'm saying that prevention is better than a pound of cure, and a vaccine is not the cure.
Well, what would you say to somebody who already had it and it didn't, you know, it didn't take them out? They lived, you know, they're on the other side.
Any disease. You can say that about any disease.
So what would you say to somebody that already had it and they, you know, they want to continue, they want to ensure that they don't get it again just in case, you know, the doctors are wrong about the fact that they say you can't get it again, or they just want to, you know, they realize that, you know, hey, maybe that was a wake-up call for me. You know, you take somebody, they got it, and they said, you know what, that got my attention. You know, I ain't trying to go through that no more. I am ready to get on the right track. But specifically for somebody who had COVID and may have even been hospitalized for it, and now they're on the other side, and they, you know, they're like, okay, that was a wake-up call for me. What would you suggest?
Well, if they've had it and think they're over it, I would say don't be so sure, because if you had it and you got over it and you still eating chicken, you susceptible to getting it again. So you have to do first things first. You have to understand that these are the things that you need to do, and if the pharmaceutical industry is not going to tell you these things. A little bit, they trickle out a little bit, but they are not telling you that in order to avoid or overcome or whatever we cure yourself or whatever, these are the things that you need. You have to go to a doctor if you want to go to a doctor and get there's this test that they give you. You can ask for an allergy test. You can ask for any kind of test that you want. And oftentimes, if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. So when you go to your doctor and you get blood work, the blood work will tell you some. But there are other tests that you can take that can tell you, you know, other conditions that you may need to address. And we have to learn if you're going to use a doctor, use them to get the information you need about what's going on with you. Most of us, when we go to the doctor, we don't ask for allergy tests. We don't ask for certain tests that will tell us whether or not we have a predisposition to a certain condition. Or if we have a predisposition to the condition, it won't tell you what to do about it. So you're left kind of, they'll come and tell you you have a vitamin D deficiency. Or they might tell you that, you know, you have a vitamin D deficiency, but don't tell you that you need to or prescribe a vitamin D for your condition. So you have to be conscious enough when you go to your doctor and you do the test and you get the test results. You have to press the doctor to give you what you need. And oftentimes, we're not even conscious enough to know what to do if we got a test that tells us we have an allergy or we have a vitamin D deficiency. We don't know enough to press the doctor to give us what they have to correct the conditions, because if the doctor correct the condition, then you're well and you don't need the doctor no more. So they keep you coming back and knowing that, you know, you have a vitamin D deficiency, and as long as you got a vitamin D deficiency, you're going to come and keep coming back to them, and they're going to keep making money. And oftentimes, like I say, we love mammon or money more than we love God. God has told us what we need to do, and we need to understand how to get to the position to where we can find out what God say we need to do and begin to do that. I mean, a doctor is not going to do that. We put our faith in the wrong thing.
Well, you know, I think when it comes to challenging a doctor, you know, I think that for a lot of people, that's intimidating. You know, just the even thought of challenging their doctor. The doctor comes in and says, you know, I'm looking at your chart here, and it appears that you're low in such and such and such and such and such and such. I think what we're going to do is we're going to put you on such and such and such and such and such. He doesn't ask you. He tells you, you know, this is what we're, this is, he tells you, this is what we're going to do, okay? Not like he even asks you, are you comfortable with this, or, you know, would you like to do this? He tells you, this is what we're going to do.
Are there any alternatives? Yeah, right.
No, exactly. And if people don't know that there's another way, you know, there are a lot of people out there that haven't heard this information before, you know, or and even if they have heard it, they don't feel like they've got it down pat enough that they could challenge their physician. Because I think the underlying assumption is that, you know, if I know this, then I know the doctor know this, you know, so I can't challenge him or her. Because if I know, if this information concerning holistic health and the immune system, if this information has fallen upon my ears, I know it's fallen on theirs. So I can't really challenge them. And even if I do challenge them, they can shoot me down with one or two sentences. You know, somebody might say, well, doc, I heard that the immune system, you know, that if I go out here and if I exercise and move the lymphatic system, you know, then that will help boost my, you know, resistance to, you know, said disease. Now, the doctor might come back and say, yeah, well, that vegetarian stuff don't work. And it's like, okay, end of that discussion, you know, end of that discussion, because where do you come back from unless you've done some research, unless you've studied, unless you know somebody, you know, personally who can say, oh, I can vouch for that. Holistic health, because I had high blood pressure and it's gone, or I had diabetes or cancer, it's gone. Like, for example, your mother was a witness. She had a testimony. She could vouch for the holistic health approach, where many people can't when it comes to their doctors. Even so, if the doctor shoots down something, most people can't even say, well, I know somebody, doc. That's, that might not be necessarily true, because I know somebody who had cancer and no longer has it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that absolute. It brings to mind, to my mind, that there's an old adage that say, know thyself. If you don't know thyself, you're subject to whatever somebody gives you, and that's not good. That would never be the way to go. So if you have to understand your body, you have to understand what your body needs, you have to understand that why you shouldn't do things that you do, and then you have to do something about that. So know thyself. Yeah.
You know, the Chinese also have an adage that says, no investigation, no right to speak. Okay, so if you haven't investigated it, you know, then you can't speak on it. You know, if you don't, if you haven't done the research, you can have an opinion, but what is that opinion based on? You know, somebody might say, you meet people, sometimes they might say, oh, I don't believe that. You share with them about some holistic, oh, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
yeah,
why don't you believe it? I mean, if you can say, I don't believe it because, you know, I've read a few articles on it, I've done some research on it, you know, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Based on my understanding, based on what I've read, it doesn't make sense to me. I can go with that answer, you know, because they've done some research and it doesn't make sense to them. But if somebody just says, oh, I don't believe that, and they can't say, well, what
why they don't
set believe of information it. Have you looked at to give you that understanding or to make you not believe what it is that I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes people just have to do a little research, because I love that saying by the Chinese, no investigation, no right to speak. But let's talk for a moment, Brother Coy, about African-Americans and COVID, because from all the reports that we see on television, the reports are saying that African-Americans are affected by COVID at a much, much higher rate than all of the other races in the country. Any, you have any thoughts on why that might be? I mean, is it just access to, you know, good health care, or you think we're just eating worse than everybody else?
Both. I think the condition that we're in is because we don't understand the condition that we're in, don't understand it, there's nothing you can do about it. So if you don't, if you can't address your issue or do what you need to do to address your issue on your own, you can't depend on someone else to tell you that. And unless you address the issue on your own, you will never understand what the problem is. And you are just a guinea pig. You make yourself a guinea pig, and too many of us make ourselves a guinea pig. But it goes deeper than that. As a people, we've come out of slavery. When we came out of slavery, they didn't even give us a dollar to live on. So we've always been deprived of what the medical profession had to offer, in a way. And now that we are conscious enough and we can get involved in the system, we don't know enough about how it works so that we can pick and choose the things that we need to do to our benefit. So because we have never really been involved in any kind of medical care or Medicaid or medical, any kind of medical, we never had medical care. We never had doctors that we could go to. In fact, we only started going to doctors in the 40s. And so when we got to the doctor, it was a gimmick. It was the Rockefellers. They had figured out that if you tell people that this will help them, placebo, that's what they given us, placebos. It really don't matter. It's just that it's something that they can sell, that they can make money on, so that they can keep us sick. That's really the condition we're in. And if we don't know any better, we really can't break out of it. But a lot of the conditions we have comes out of slavery because they fed us the slop the way they feed pigs. They would give us enough to keep us strong enough to work in the field. But they never, when that didn't work or when we got sick, they never availed us to the best of the medical care that's available now. So we had to go out and we had to pick the herbs. We had to know how to use the herbs so that we could take care of ourselves. But when Rockefeller came along and established the pharmaceutical industry so that they can tell us what we need to do, we got sicker, and we are still getting sicker, and we still haven't woken up to the fact that this is up to us, and the medicine, that our food is our medicine, and if we don't learn how to eat right, we're going to continue to be subject to these underlying conditions that when something like COVID comes along, it's going to wipe us out more so than people that may have know how to take care of themselves better than we do. If we're listening to the people that's selling us drugs, just like that, they had this the thing that Michael Jackson died of, them drugs that, you know, people look for that because they make them feel good. They don't have to do anything other than feel good. They don't have to change their diet. They can just take this, the name of it, the name of this drug that wiped out everybody, and all of a sudden it kind of disappeared.
Percocet?
Not Percocet, but the one, the latest one, this drug company went bankrupt trying to avoid having to pay for their condition.
I'm not sure about
the people up in West Virginia. They got this drug that they was giving them to medicate them, basically. But it'll come to me. But that's what
okay.
happens. Yeah, that's what happens when you have this before COVID. It was a drug epidemic going through the world that kind of preceded COVID. I mean, that was just a precursor to the COVID coming because we had the drug companies giving the people these drugs, and they was wiping out the immune system and killing them to the point to where we could not save them, and we hardly hear about it now. But the company that made that drug, they filed bankruptcy really recently up in West Virginia. West Virginia was probably the hardest hit place. But it was a drug that they was given, oxycodone. That line of drugs is a precursor to, when I say precursor, they preceded us moving into this pandemic because it weakened us. It made us all weaker. It made us all more susceptible to the things that to keep us sick. And I think the company that was the big maker, this was a pharmaceutical drug company that made this drug, oxycodone. They gave it to people, and it addicted to them. It made them addicted. And anything that make you addicted is going to break down your immune system and open up the gates for things like COVID to mm-hmm. come in. And now that I think that company's filed bankruptcy, and they somewhere in the Bahamas living on a boat, enjoying the fruits of all the things, the fruits of their illegal activity of dumping all these drugs into the cities. They didn't care if it was black, white, whoever, but it mostly affected mostly poor whites up in the West Virginia area, and these areas are the ones right now that are still mostly affected by this pandemic. They just wiped themselves out.
Well, what is herd immunity? We've heard a lot about that. Can you speak on that?
Well, they say if enough people get it, eventually we'll build up an immunity to it. But you can't build up a herd immunity if you don't have an immune system to build on. If you keep eating the chicken, if you keep eating the sugar, if you keep eating the sad American diet, there is no herd immunity. You're just going to continue to die. And this election, I think, is a big referendum on that question. What the country has done is the only thing they've offered people is a vaccine. And the vaccine is still not in existence. We don't have a vaccine. And they're not telling people anything else other than wait on a vaccine. But in the meantime, we're dying. So what are we supposed to do in terms of fighting this thing? Are we just supposed to sit and let it come and take us over? Or is there something that I can do? And I think that's the criminal part of this, that they're not telling people, that they know that these are supplement nutritional deficiencies that's susceptible to that is making us susceptible to this disease, and they have not done anything to alert people that these are the alternatives you can do. You can take some, even just vitamin C. If they just tell people to take vitamin C, that would make a big difference. But they're not even doing that. So it's a criminal activity they're involved in, and it's killing people. And it's okay.
You know what's so interesting, Brother Quez, is that there are people that would hear what you're saying and be taken back by it and be like, wait a minute.
Nah, he's talking crazy.
Yeah, exactly. There he go. You know.
Well,
I knew it was coming. So what you saying? So you saying they doing this on purpose, man? That's what you telling me. They doing this on purpose. And so because people have that mentality, you know, you have to take matters into your own hands. And even if they were not doing this on purpose, but you acted as though they were, and you did, and you took matters into your own hands, you would still be better off, because it'd be so much better for you to be taking the position. You know, I'm glad I took the position that I did than I wish I had. I remember one time I was talking with Dick Gregory, and he said to me, he said, Juwan, if I was in a hotel and I had somebody that I trusted tell me, you know, Dick, tonight at 11 o'clock, this hotel going to blow up. Whatever you do, wherever you are, don't be in this hotel at 11 tonight because it's going up.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. He said, if I took that position, and I said, he don't know what he's talking about. And at 10:55, his words came back to me, and I ignored it and said, I ain't nothing going to happen. He said, and then the hotel blew up. Dick Gregory said, will read about me in the paper the next day and say the reason he died was because he was in the hotel when the hotel blew up. But the real reason I died was because I didn't listen.
Yeah.
He said, that's the reason I died, for real, was because when my friend told me what was going to happen, I ignored him. When my friend told me what was going to happen, I thought he was tripping. And so I just said, I ignored him. So he said, but that's what should be read on my tombstone.
Yeah,
he didn't listen.
I didn't listen.
You know.
Well,
I
would
give if there's anybody
say,
on the line.
It's really not funny, but that could be written on all the people that died of COVID. That's going to be written on their gravestone. I didn't listen.
Well, I would say this about the people with COVID. Some of them, there's a lot of people yet and still in this day and age that don't know. You know, there might be somebody that hears this show, Brother Coy, and, like you've been doing this for 40 years,
Yeah.
And I've been, on the path for about 20, but there might be somebody that might be hearing this for the first time, and they might be like, they might recoil at that. That they might think, didn't listen. I'm just now hearing this,
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to that?
At least you heard it. If you hear this and not react on it, that's
mm-hmm.
a problem. But if you mm-hmm. take this information and you begin to do what you need to do, then I've done my job. But either way, I've done my job. I've told you, I've given you the information that you need to do what you need to do, and it's up to you from here. I can't make you do anything, and I'm not trying to force you to do anything. You just have to make a decision about whether or not you want to listen to the doctor or listen to the truth.
Now, to everybody that's listening to this show, I want you to know that Brother Coy is an educated man. He's a learned man. This man has got a law degree, okay? He graduated from Antioch College in Washington, D.C., okay? He's got a law degree. He's educated in most of the people, more educated than most of the people that will listen to this show, I dare say. So when you're listening to him, you're not listening to somebody that doesn't read. You're not listening to somebody who just, heard somebody, that heard somebody that heard somebody that heard somebody. This brother, again, his mother, I repeat it, his mother had been diagnosed with cancer in both breasts, the liver, and her colon, and the doctors had given her 6 weeks to live. And Brother Coy took it upon himself to make his mother's life better. They decided not to go the chemotherapy route, but to just go home and prepare her to meet God. And during the interim, Brother Coy started researching and found out about that if you could change your diet, you could change your condition. And that's exactly what happened tonight. He's been curing everything that moves those who will listen for the last 40 years. Let me ask you this before we go, Brother Coy, and I appreciate your time. The respiratory system, COVID seems to really attack people's respiratory system. I mean, when you read about hear about the nurses in the emergency rooms, and to all of those, first let me just give a thanks to all of the people that are on the front lines that are doing everything that they can to, risking their lives to, keep us, to keep the
but
people,
no support,
our loved
no support.
Ones.
The president don't even support them.
Huh?
The president don't even support them. They're doing it with no support. They're just doing it because that's what you should do. You try to help your fellow
mm-hmm.
man. But the
Absolutely.
President is not giving them anything to fight with. We wouldn't even give them a mask to wear. So we in trouble.
So
they got to buy their own mask.
So, I want to just, it's funny in a sad way, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's sad.
I wanna, you know, just to those people who are on the front lines, who are doing it, risking their lives to help others, you know, you deserve all the credit. You know, we can't thank you. We can't thank you enough. And again, I want to give the number again. If you're on this call and you've experienced it, because there's still some people out here that do not believe that COVID-19 is real. There are still people out here that believe that, oh, I can go out here, I don't need a mask. I mean, you take people that get in fights. It's nothing to turn on the news and see somebody get into a fight, because somebody asked them to put on a mask before coming in the store. You know, and they end up fighting. And I mean, I understand that people are under a whole lot of pressure during this time, but there's still people out here that don't believe that it's real. So if you're listening to this phone call, if you're on this call, and you've experienced COVID firsthand, and you would like to share with the people that it is real, you know, because sometimes people need to hear it from somebody that had it. You know, because we can say that it's real. I have never had it. You know, I'm going on the information that other people are putting out. I haven't had COVID, but there might be somebody that does. If you've had it and you're listening, all you have to do is press 1 on your telephone. You don't have to give your real name, and I can bring you on board, and you can share your personal experience, and it may be a blessing to other people. It may help somebody else. Who, you know, sometimes they need to, again, hear it from somebody who had it. So all you have to do is just press 1, and then I can bring you on. So, Brother Coy, moving forward as we, look at this thing, it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. So the best thing that we can do, again, is build up our immune system, and we can do that by not eating and doing the things that are going to tear it down, drinking, smoking. We can exercise more. What about water? You know, what about water, and what about sweat? I thought about that earlier. Since the skin is the biggest organ of elimination, if somebody had COVID and they said, could they, and I know that they're still, you know, we're still learning how to treat this thing. But would you assume that sweating would be, you know, intentional sweating, like, you know, sitting in the bathroom, making yourself sweat so that your skin can open up and your, you know, you can start to release certain things through the skin? Do you think that would be helpful?
Before you get it, after you get it, it probably won't, because you can't breathe. It attacks the lungs. The disease itself attacks the lungs, and that's why you got to have ventilators and respirators and all those things to help you breathe. The one thing that we didn't talk about that we need to remember, the 1919 plague, the Spanish flu, it probably, I don't know if we surpassed the number of people that have died. I think we have. With the Spanish flu, but these are our parents or our grandparents. They lived through the 1919 pandemic, and one of the things they use was turpentine. Turpentine has a way of going in and pulling this stuff up out of the lung and flushing it out. I know a lot of people out there probably don't know about turpentine, but turpentine, we're talking about the turpentine that comes from the pine tree, and it has the ability to go in and pull that virus out of the lung and help you breathe. You don't need a ventilator to do that if you know what to do. This is the kind of information that we've been deprived of. We don't know about. We don't believe in. We don't even want to hear about it because who knows? The doctors are not saying it, so it's not true. But when the question that you asked brings up turpentine, because it's one of the things that you can take, and you don't have to take a lot, that will go in and strip anything off the lungs and push it out. So that would be another alternative to going into a ventilator or going into a respirator and trying to breathe. But the virus itself, it attacks the lungs, it cut off your ability to breathe, and that's why you die. And oftentimes, by the time you realize that, it's too late. Sometimes people can go through can go through it, but some people, depending on the condition that they are in, they can actually, after a day or two, they just die. That's why, that's the difference in how it affects people. It depends on the condition you're in. If your immune system is good and you're strong, you probably would be considered asymptomatic. In other words, you can carry the disease, but it doesn't affect you because you have an immune system or you are doing something that is enabling you to not be knocked down by the virus. But if you have, you're a smoker, you have high blood pressure, all the other things, when it hit you, you might die in a day or two. And it's just a matter of knowing yourself to the point to where if you know that you're doing all these things and don't do anything about it, it can really wipe you out. And I would say that most of the people that die, they have some underlying condition. They smoke, they have high blood pressure, they have diabetes, which is pretty much the same thing. It doesn't matter what you call it, it's the same thing. And when their lungs are attacked, their kidneys and all everything else is already under attack, and when the lungs get under attack, they just can't fight it off, and they die.
Mm. Everybody, my special guest, I call him King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been on the holistic health path for over 40 years, okay, and God has used him to, and when I say reverse, we're talking about get rid of. Can't really use the words like cure and heal anymore, so, you know, we got to use, just so that you get the point. His mother had cancer in both of her breasts, the liver, and the colon by the time, and here's the thing, the doctors couldn't do anything with it. They didn't know what else to do. They had done everything and then told her the last thing that the only options left to her was chemotherapy and or radiation, okay? And they decided not to go that route. And on Coy's first attempt at healing, he reversed his mother's cancer in both breasts, the liver, and her colon. And I don't mean remission. I mean, they ran tests, right, Brother Coy, and it was gone, yeah. Right? They couldn't find it, right?
Yeah,
gone.
That's good. So it's possible.
It's God.
It's possible. Yeah.
But what
you
about
go through the process?
You got Thanksgiving. We got Thanksgiving coming up. I mean, this is for a lot of people. This is that time of year where everybody gets together and, you know, comes over and socializes and breaks bread and fellowships and, What would be your advice to people during this time where people normally get together as it pertains to COVID?
Well, because we don't know how to follow directions and do what we need to do, I would say that's probably not a good idea. You probably want to stay within your household as best you can. If you do want to bring people over and invite them, you may want to ask them, have they had a test? I mean, it's like going to bed with the possibility of going to bed with somebody that got AIDS. I mean, you have to protect yourself. So unless they can assure you that they don't have it in some way, either by showing you some test results or saying you know that they do the right thing and maybe they are vegetarian, all of those things will mitigate some of the things or lessen the possibility that they can spread it. But we see already that most of the outbreaks, it comes from gatherings, family gatherings or large gatherings, small gatherings. So you have to be careful in terms of who you invite, and it's probably this is one Thanksgiving you may want to just stay with the people that you live with, and if you do anything with other people, maybe do it outside of your house or do it in a place that you feel safe in terms of not being exposed to what other people might bring. So it is really a tough decision from the beginning. I've always said we're going to have to separate. One of the ways that we know how to deal with any kind of virus or bacteria is to separate. We got to isolate ourselves to the point to where whatever we do is not affecting other people, and other people can't affect you. So if it was up to me, I would not be inviting people over for Thanksgiving. I would not be planning any big events or doing anything out of the ordinary that would expose me to the possibility of being exposed to this virus at this point. So unfortunately, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you probably want to chill. A lot of people are still traveling, but if you in the condition, if you have no underlying conditions and you're in pretty good shape, you may be younger, but at my age, I'm over 70, you would have to really think about whether or not you want to leave your house this Thanksgiving or Christmas. So I would say just plan to kind of be isolated from your family and from friends this holiday, and plan to do what you can to work on yourself so that you don't have to worry about whether or not your immune system is strong enough to handle you. Get your vitamin C, get your vitamin D, get your omega-3 fats, get your turpentine, get all the things that you know to get to fight this condition. And if you have any questions about what I'm saying, or if you missed it tonight, I'm going to give you my number so you can call me whenever you hear this, and we can talk. I'm at 202-562-0041, 202-562-0041, from 8 to 6 every day but Sunday and Monday. I'm located at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest in Washington, D.C., 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code is 20032. If you happen to be in the area and you want to stop by, I'll probably be there. We already said I'm not there Sunday and Monday. But if there's any way you need to contact me, or if you feel the need to contact me, you can call me, you can stop by, email. Probably not. It is best to just call or give me to come by or just call me. That's the quickest way to get to me so that we can do something. If I don't answer the phone, just leave a message and give me your name and number, and I will get back to you within 24 hours or so, I don't know, whatever, depending on when you call. But that's about all I can do to give my service to whoever needs it. And if you feel like that's something you want to take advantage of, you've got the information now.
And wherever you are in the world, Brother Coy can ship. He has an awesome establishment. There are certain products that he sells, certain herbs that he sells. So if somebody, for example, wants some moringa, or if they want some loose herbs, they can
all
actually get that
from
your vitamin
C. Virus. All the things you need
Absolutely.
For the virus, I usually have it in stock. So you can call. Even if you have it, it would still be beneficial to start the things that we have suggested this evening that can help you.
Brother Coy, I want to just ask before we wrap up, maybe even I think people are going to need to really start looking at and really being careful about the information that they hear outside of just wherever they are, because every day for the last God knows how many days, it's been in the United States, new records have been set concerning deaths and people who have contacted it. You know, I think it's now up to almost 100,000 people every day for like the last few days. And out of these 100,000 people, we know that everybody in this group of 100,000 people per day, they know to wear masks. You know what I mean? It's not like these people, I don't think, all of them gone to these rallies, right? You know, I think that a lot of these people are wearing masks. I think a lot of these people, especially at this point, I mean, in the beginning when we didn't know, you know, we weren't really sure about the social distancing. We didn't know anything about the disease. We didn't know, you know, there were in the beginning you had some people wearing masks. Then slowly but surely you saw more people wearing masks. Now everybody's wearing masks. But yet, in spite of the fact with everybody wearing masks, everybody observing social distancing for the most part, everybody washing hands, you know, disinfect for the most part, you still have every day new records of people dying and people catching it. You know, in the beginning, you would think that number would be higher in the beginning, but now, even in spite of more people being aware of it, more people are catching it. What would you attribute that to?
I think the assumption that you've made is not really true. I think most people they don't feel comfortable in a mask, and if you wear a mask, you are inhaling your own toxins, and that's a real problem with wearing the mask. It's not really protecting you from the virus, because if you are breathing in your own toxins, you're going to weaken your immune system even more and become more susceptible to it. So the mask thing is still out there. That's what they're telling us. That's the only thing they've told us we can do. But I'm saying that wearing the mask may not be enough. Washing the hands may not be enough, because you still have the possibility of being affected by the germs that we come in contact with every day. But I think we have to go beyond that, and we have to those are just placebos that I think they tell you to wear a mask and wash your hands, but you should be doing that anyway. If you're not doing that, you might be susceptible to anything. But the real condition, the real consideration that we need to make is what are the underlying conditions of this disease, and we have to face the fact that it's having pets in your house, eating animal fat, and doing all the things that we always want to do, and not trying to make a change. That's the real problem. We are so caught up in who we are and our ego that we think we can go around and do all these things and not suffer the consequences. And that's why the number of cases are rising. And in addition to that, we have no leadership to tell us that if we all do this and we have we need to, in order to deal with this virus, bacteria, whatever you want to call it, we have to deal with it in a way that we all do the same thing. And we're not getting that leadership from the White House or the Senate or from anywhere. And we have to remember that the world population is something like 9 billion people, and there's a push to reduce the number of people on the face of the earth to at least under 4 billion, and so they're not trying to give you the information that you need to live. They want you to die, get rid of you, so that they can continue to wallow in the riches of this world and do what they always do in terms of taking everything from everybody else. But
let me ask you this. Then would you sit there? I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Now, let's say somebody might say, well, we, for example, back to the pets, we've always had dogs. You know, we've had dogs running our family like certain diseases. We've always had German shepherds and dogs and pets and, you know, cats. And we never caught the coronavirus. We never had any respiratory problems. I mean, we've had a dog, old King, or Prince, whatever the dog's name, Champ or whatever, was in the family. We've always had a dog, and everybody was petting the dog. Everybody loved the dog, and the dog loved everybody. But nobody got sick. How would you respond to that?
We didn't have them in the house with us. We didn't sleep with them. I mean, the dog would stay outside. That dog would hardly ever come in the house when we had these animals. You know, we didn't live with them, and we didn't give them run of the house and sleep with them.
they all in the bed on the couch and everything
right,
else.
Right. So mm-hmm. Where are we going with that? I mean, and we know now. We know scientifically that these viruses and bacteria, all these things, they're closely related to our relationship with animals. So we have to do something to separate ourselves from the possibility of us being exposed to these animals in a way that it affects us negatively, like with a virus. But yeah, I know people. I see they walk by my house every day with their little pets and dogs. They doo-doo on the sidewalk, and they keep on walking. All that stuff just laying out there. And you are in an environment where all of this stuff is just always in front of you. And I guess a mask would help in terms of protecting you from the waste that they leave on the street and walking by. But
what about the droplets from other people? I mean, you mentioned that wearing a mask, you inhaling your own toxins. But let's say if you're healthy, let's say if you're, you know, certainly, of course, you know, it would impede the fresh air that you're getting. Let's say even if you're healthy, and you know, you're not just healthy according to the doctor's standpoint, but you're really, really healthy, truly healthy, and you're wearing a mask. Then certainly, of course, that mask would impede the air that you would normally, that the, you know, you're not getting, your lungs aren't getting the full benefit of getting a full, you know, inhale of fresh air because you got a mask on.
Right.
But it would certainly seem to, if somebody else had the virus, that are you saying that you don't think that the mask would protect you from that person?
Well, that is the theory behind the mask. If I wear a mask, it keeps me from spreading it to you, and if you wear a mask, it keeps you from spreading it to me. So that is the theory behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
But theoretically, that'll work. But if you got on a mask, and I got on a mask, and we still walking around with a dog and eating animal fat, where are we going with that?
McCoy, the thing telling me we're running out of time. We went over, and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Everybody, make sure you contact King Coy, Secrets of Nature, 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Brother Coy,
I appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you, and anybody want to call me or talk to me, you've got my number.
You're a treasure, my brother. Thank you, and God bless you, everybody. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?
Peace.
Peace. Thank you.